Welcome, everybody. My name is Marty Fort, and I have been a guitar teacher for over 20 years. And the reason, you know, Steve and Chris have brought me in today is I'm going to give you guys a talk that I've done for many years all over the country to try to help you be more profitable guitar teachers. This is not going to be a boring presentation talking about, you know, teaching methodology and that kind of stuff. It's really going to be my story of how I went from, you know, being a university graduate and aspiring guitar teacher and failing and not really maximizing my potential to now that I really am and we'll have a breakthrough. So hope you guys have a couple things ready. Number one, pens. Hope you guys got pen and paper ready. So I'm really going to give you some specifics. I'm going to give you specifics that I assume all of you are teaching tonight. It's a Monday. And I'm going to give you things you can do starting today. It's not going to be an extremely long talk. It's going to be very direct and very to the point. But I really want you to write these things down. And I really want you to take them to heart. And you can start using them today. A lot of it, frankly, is about time management and how you interact with your customers. The second thing is we want to make sure we have lots of time for you guys. Whenever I've done these, we usually have lots of questions. So as you're going through this, here's what I want you to think about. I know right now all of you have got students that are presenting you with challenges. Maybe it's a child that doesn't practice. Maybe it's an adult you don't know what to do with. Maybe, you know, who knows the reasons? I've heard them all. But I want you to take the opportunity at the end. We'll do Q&A, and you guys can ask me anything about teaching guitar, ask me anything about a student, ask me anything about books, methods, whatever. But as we're going through the talk, if you have a question, just wait till the end, because we will do Q&A at the end, okay? All right. Now, let me try this website one more time and see if I can hit record before we start. I would love to do that. Let's see if it'll play ball. Chris, let's do a test real quick before we get started. There should be a way to mute these lines by pressing star 6. Can you press star 6 and then mute your line and then press star 6 again and unmute it? Let's see if that works, Chris.
Okay, here I go.
This line is now muted.
It should be muted, and I'll try unmuting it.
This line is now unmuted.
Okay, we're unmuted.
All right, great. So here's what I want everybody to do. Chris and Steve, don't touch your line. If all the guitar teachers will please press star 6 on their phone, and at the end we'll take Q&A. So all the guitar teachers, please press star 6 and mute your line. We got a big turnout. All right. Chris and Steve, stop me at any time if you got questions or want clarification on something. But without further ado, we're going to dive in. So first of all, let's talk about my story. I mean, it's important for you to know, you know, what I've done and how similar we are to each other as guitar teachers. I have played guitar since I was 8 years old, was always really just kind of an 80s metal guy, and have even opened up for Rat and Skid Row and done, you know, tours in the U.S. and Europe and that kind of thing, and was always just a big electric guitar guy. That led me to Randy Rhoads, you know, through Ozzy Osbourne, and got me into classical guitar at age 15. I went to the University of South Carolina and started taking classical guitar lessons with a graduate student, and then went to Governor School for the Arts, then went to, if any of you've ever heard of Aaron Shearer, he's a famous classical guitar teacher who started the first classical guitar program in the country. And he went to the North Carolina School of the Arts to do a program there and was the head of guitar while I was there. And I took lessons with a guy named Gerald Klickstein, who's now at Peabody. So I got my bachelor's in classical guitar, played in jazz band for 3 years, toured around the Southeast with them. One of my good friends is now the trumpet player for Michael Bublé and John Mayer. So it was a great jazz band. And then went age 22, just kind of graduated and was in a rock and roll band. And still playing rock and roll bands to this day. So when I was 22, I got out and I, you know, needed to make a living. Well, the natural way to make a living was as a guitar teacher. But the first thing I want you to write down, the first problem I encountered, is that the way I was teaching my students and the way a lot of you are teaching your students is the way I was taught in college. Now, here's the problem with that. At the Frisco School of Music, you guys take students at what age, guys? Age 7?
Yeah, we might have a couple of younger ones starting at 6 in private lessons, but our groups start at 7, and the kids do private lessons all the way up to.
And what's the big university around your area that the people come through? Is it Southern Methodist? Is it Frisco University. What's the big school of music near you guys where you get teachers?
Yeah, University of North Texas in Denton. It's about 40 minutes from here.
Yeah, so that's a super famous school. That's one of the top five jazz programs in the country. Well, here's the problem with that, guys. They don't have any 7-year-olds there. And they don't have any 50-year-olds there who have a finger missing or a, 25-year-old whose knuckle is inverted or an 11-year-old who's got Asperger's syndrome or autism. So what you quickly have to learn is that the way you were trained in college, especially if you go to North Carolina School of the Arts, North Texas, wherever, they're training you to be a professor. They're training you to teach at the highest level. And you want to always give people the highest education, but you've got to also know your clients. So the first thing I did is I realized that I had been trained in college to teach like a professor, and when I was going to the real world, I was totally out of touch with my client. And I've even got teachers that work for me that haven't been to college at all. That's fine, because frankly, even though I have a master's and I was a professor of guitar for 6 years, a lot of my teachers that never went to college but are great players, very personable, make a lot more money than people that went to university. So you have to understand the purpose of today's call is to make you more profitable and really, in a nutshell, how to get your students not to quit. You're in a wonderful situation there at Frisco that Steve and Chris are going to bring you lots of students. It's up to you guys to keep them. And it became very apparent to me that I needed to do that because I was on my own. I was by myself, and if somebody didn't come back the next week, I didn't get paid. Somebody was getting students for me. So what I did first is I realized, okay, I'm not in touch with my students, and I really had to revisit what I was taught in college, and all you guys need to do the same. You need to look at if you're using, for example, a boring Berkeley book from the 80s or a Hal Leonard book that hasn't been updated since the 70s, that's a problem, and you're losing students because of it. And I really had to come to terms with that what I was doing with students, just because I had gone to music stores and had a Berkeley book or a Hal Leonard book, it was outdated, and it was recycling it really wasn't connecting with the students. So the first thing is coming to realization that has to change, and then doing something about it. So what can you do about it? Well, the first thing you can do about it actually has nothing to do with method books, guys. And the first thing I really want to stress to you to put on your to-do list, let's go ahead and start your to-do list. Number one on your to-do list, and I will tell you this, for having done this over 20 years, working with people all over the United States, is that you're not communicating with your clients. You're not communicating with your clients. Your to-do list is you've got to start before and after every single lesson to talk to your clients. Now, you say, Marty, we do talk to them. We say, hey, what's up? How's it going? That's not what I mean. When I talk to parents over and over and over and over again, the one thing they all want more of is communication. Now, let's get very specific on what they want. What you guys have to start doing before and after each lesson, even if you're subbing for somebody else, it doesn't matter. And it's got to happen every time. You've got to be very disciplined about this. You've got to go up, shake the parents' hands, look them in the eye, learn their first names. It shocks me how sometimes my guitar teachers don't even know their student's name. It's abhorrent. You got to know the client's name and the student's name and welcome them, ask them how it's going, and go ahead and get started. You have to gain the parents' trust. It's paramount. Because, you guys have all seen the horrible things that happen to the papers, and they don't always trust us just naturally, because like Chris and Steve know you're good people, but they don't know, or they wonder. So you got to establish that trust with them, okay? Now, number two. At the end of every lesson, this is the most important. You've got to tell the parent what happened. The parent has two things that go through their mind. Number one, when they get in the car tonight, they come to Frisco, they're going to get in the car, and they're going to say to their child, Jeff, fun? Yeah. What did you learn? You know what the child's going to say? I don't know. That's the reality of this. I mean, the reality is you guys gave them a free lesson, a great lesson. I know you went over pentatonics, the circle of fifths, and worked on their recital pieces and fun songs, and I get all of that. But if you look at my own family, I take my cousin and my niece and my nephew every Wednesday to my school. And every single time I ask them how the lessons went, they just don't want to talk about it. You need to realize the children are lazy, and they want to get on their DS, and they want to talk about, TV shows and stuff. They don't really want to talk about the pages they did for 30 minutes. But you know what? Here's what you want to write down. The parents do. And I'm really trying to help you guys and girls today be a better teacher, be more profitable, that if you'll just start to communicate with parents tonight, after every single lesson, telling them what happened, giving a page number, let me be specific. Chris, if it was you, and it was your son, say, hey, Chris, we had a great lesson today here with Roger, who was on pages 5 to 6. You know the recital's coming up in December. You guys want to do that? Okay. Well, listen, he did good. Just tell him to take it slow. Just do a little bit each day. Work on page 5 to 6. And also, Chris, can you have him bring his iPod next week? You see what I'm doing? You're giving accountability, guys. And for guitar players, we are not really wired as a breed to do that. You know, we're kind of bohemian, free spirits, just off whatever. You know, everything's cool. But you have to be more regimented. And when I turned my business around and started to be a lot more profitable, it was because that I started to get on a regimen. And I started telling his parents every single time what's happening. So let's recap. Number one, before the lesson, even if you were substitute teaching, talk to the client. Learn their first name. Look them in the eye. Talk to them before every single lesson. At the end, what's even more important, talk to them after. Let them know what happened. Page numbers, specifics, recitals. Because I'm going to tell you the other reason they quit. The next thing you need to write down is, on your to-do list, you got to always communicate where this is going. The reason people quit taking lessons with you is they wake up one morning, they say, where's this going? Now, you know where it's going in your mind. The trick is a lot of the time the client does not. And the child doesn't know where it's going, and the adult doesn't know where it's going, and they just quit. So you got to constantly remind them of upcoming dates, recital dates, benchmarks in the lessons, page numbers. You've got to always show them going forward. And you really got to get disciplined about that to say, where is this going? And tell them that every single lesson. So from now on, if you'll tell your students every single lesson where this is going and how things are connecting, you'll be a lot better off. Now let's get specific on time management and how I was able to really turn things around. Now, a lot of you guys have 20, 30 students. I mean, you may have more than that. I've got some people that have 40, 50. And those are long days to get through. I mean, teaching 4 hours at a time, especially 5 hours at a time, it's very long, and I get that. It's not easy. It's a challenge, you know, working with these kids and stuff. So what I did, so I want you to write down, number three on your to-do list, is I want you to adopt 10, 10, and 10. I'm going to say that again. 10, 10, and 10. You take a 30-minute lesson, and you break it down into 10 minutes of one thing, 10 minutes of one thing, and 10 minutes of one thing. Now, today, guys and girls, I just made your life a lot easier that you no longer have to go through, because one of the cardinal sins is you can never go through one half hour of one thing. And I know some of you guys are doing it. I've definitely been through lessons where people did it with me. And if you're strumming for 30 minutes, there's no way that student's going to keep coming back. There's just no way. The people that have really got this down, if you look at it as from an instrument perspective, it's piano teachers. Piano teachers have technique book and theory book and performance book and every type of book, and they're able to break up the lessons into small chunks. You guys have got to start to break up the lessons into small chunks. So let's look at some specifics. If you're doing a half-hour lesson, do 10 minutes of a book. One of the biggest challenges for guitar teachers is not getting their students in books and just having handouts or some kind of loose method you guys made, and you've got to stop that. Parents want to see a textbook. They really do. You got to have a book, a method book, and also a supplementary, like a Beatles book, something fun, Coldplay, Metallica, Iron Maiden, whatever. But you got to have both. And they got to be working towards something. If you want to jot down some titles, the ones I love to use the most is for young children, the FJH Beginner Series. The FJH Young Beginner Guitar Series is an amazing series for ages 7 to 10. They have a lesson book, 1 and 2, exploring chords, performance, theory. So FJH Young Beginner book. And if you guys have any questions in this title, ask Chris, and I will email the list to Chris. Number two, the Jerry Snyder Guitar School is great to get any of your teens or adults reading. You go right to part two of the book because it's sectioned off into parts, and start working on half notes, quarter notes. Get them reading in the first position. It's the quickest way to get somebody to read in the first position and not have them do Mary Had a Little Lamb. My third favorite book beyond that is the Hal Leonard Easy Play series. It's called Easy Pop Melodies. It's a green cover. If you can get them reading in the first position, transition them over to the Hal Leonard Easy Pop Melodies. It's got everything from Nirvana to Johnny Cash. Very cool series. For adults that want to come in and just sound like the Allman Brothers, but can barely, you know, play a scale. Blues You Can Use. Blues You Can Use is by John Ganapes. And Blues You Can Use is published by Hal Leonard. It's an amazing book, all pentatonics. It breaks them into etudes. They're not called etudes, but they are. And has a CD to go with it with backing tracks. Which number four. I want you guys to write down for your to-do list for number four is you've got to get with the times. The guitar has changed. And if you're not incorporating things like Guitar Pro or backing tracks or, you know, theory games or bringing your laptop with you when you come to work, if you're not incorporating all this new stuff that's happening, your days are frankly numbered. I mean, it's going to be tough to keep people interested and engaged to doing what you're doing. So you've got to ask yourself from here on out, what technology-wise are you going to do to really get them interested and that can really enhance their lessons, enhance it a lot. So before we go too far with that, so number four, let's go back to recapping the 10, 10, and 10. So you can do 10 minutes of a book, then you can do 10 minutes of finger exercises. They definitely need those. Get them working out their hands. And then the biggest thing you always want to do is end with the song. End with a song that they want to do. And a lot of teachers say, well, Marty, you know, these guys can't play the songs they want to do. Well, let's talk about that. The easiest way around that is to have a library of stuff that's comparable that they can do. So, for example, AC/DC, so much of that in AC/DC is open A. They can just play an open A string, play with the recording, and they really feel like they're doing something. Because here's the secret, guys. When they get home, they're not practicing the pentatonics. They're not practicing the circle of fifths. They're not practicing the pages you assign them. They're practicing that AC/DC thing. Whatever they're really into, that's what they're going to go home and jam on. And you just got to come to terms with that. They will get better over time, but when they start out, that's really what they're doing. So one of my favorite things to do with young children, especially, even adults, is to take melodies and write them on one string. So if you guys know Seven Nation Army by the White Stripes, I love to take Seven Nation Army, write it on the first string, and just write the fret numbers out and let the little kids play that, and they love it. Another one is Smoke on the Water, especially for adults. Take them on the open six, the open one, 035, 0365, 03530. Just write on the tab and just get them going. But you've got to give them that, and I have a word for that. It's called a nugget. That in the last 10 minutes of every lesson, you've got to give your students a nugget. And the nugget is what they practice. It's what they're excited about. It's what they come back for. And for me, that was everything. Now, let's think about your college for a second. When you go to college at North Texas, are they giving you a nugget? No. They'll sit and talk to you about, you know, Neapolitan, you know, Knights or Switch or whatever, you know, just as long as I've had that stuff, but some theory concept for an hour. And that's it. And because you're a college student and you're serious, and here's what you remember. When you went to college, you auditioned for them. When you teach at the Frisco or my school, they're not auditioning for us, guys. We are being auditioned every lesson to give them and try to get them inspired. So 10 minutes of a book, 10 minutes of something physical, 10 minutes of working on a song, and then always at the end, you want to take 60 seconds and write this down. Number five on your to-do list is you want to do the homework recap. The homework recap, guys, is the most important thing, because here's something funny. If you try it tonight, you'll find it's true. You go to your lesson tonight, you teach a good half-hour lesson, and at the end, you say, what do we do today? And even if they're a doctor or a lawyer, they'll stare at you with a blank face. They were there. They had a good time. But they really don't know, you know, what came together. So you got to say, well, we went through these pages in the first 10 minutes, and this is your homework for next time, and you write it down. You then say, okay, we did these, you know, slur exercises on the top three strings, and here's your assignment, here's your homework for next time, and here's the date. And then we did Sweet Home Alabama. If an adult can't do full chords, one of the reasons I really like the Jerry Snyder books, has simplified chords. So chords with two fingers instead of three or four, they're really good. You can just write down the open string form, open fourth, third fret fifth, third fret sixth. D on open fourth, C on third fret fifth, G on third fret sixth. Do Sweet Home Alabama that way, you're really making them a bass player, but it's fine. And then you write it down, you hand it to them, firmly keep it in a notebook. Even if you're subbing, you got to write it down. And then you go out and you do what? Remember what I told you, you got to go out and tell the parents everything that happened. Now, a lot of the parents don't come in. I get that they don't come in. I'm going to tell you guys, and Chris and Steve, I don't know if you guys will approve this, but I'm just going to tell them what I do, and you guys jump in if it's not acceptable, okay? But at my school, what we tell teachers is if they never, ever, 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 ever see the parents, because our parking lot's pretty close, okay? They are to go out to the car, hand them the note, say, listen, got to run, got another student, had a great lesson today, but here's what we did. Feel free to come in sometime and listen to us play.
That's fine with us, Marty. They can go chase them down.
Yeah, because the parent, that's everything. I mean, you know, first of all, you let the other student in so they can go and sit down and get tuned up, right? So it's no harm, no foul, right? You guys are teaching 4 to 5 hours a day. You need some air. Go get some air. Run out to the car. Don't be long with them. Get to a discussion. Say, listen, Mr. Jones, I got to run. I do want to give you this homework note. Had a great time today with Roger. He's doing awesome. Recital's in December. And I know you don't come in a lot, but feel free to come in next time at the end and let's play for you and hear what we're doing. Put that on your to-do list, guys and girls. That one of the secrets is, and I never got this in college, and it took me a while, but if you will bring the parents into the lessons at the end, and you will let the children play for them, at the minimum, once a month, preferably every 2 weeks. I got some teachers that do it every single time. They will bond with you. They will stay longer because the parents want to know that it's working. They really do. So let's recap my methodology, and then I'm going to talk about why people quit, what you guys can do about it. So the methodology is number one. Let's go through your to-do list, everybody. Let's recap. Number one, starting tonight, at the beginning of the lesson, greet the parent, shake hands, use first names, look them in the eye, start the lesson. At the end, walk out, give them the homework recap, give them to them the hand, but tell them how their child did. If you've been talking to them for 30 seconds, double it, go to 60. You've got to talk more. You've got to communicate more. If you want to make more money and you want them to stay longer, this is what you have to do. Number two, update your books, guys. Stop using lame books from the past. Go out and check out all the great books that are out there and get with it. And if you're not using backing tracks that they can jam to and play to, you know, you're not going to be teaching. You're not going to have a successful career. Students have moved on. You've got to move on with them, but a lot of times we get stuck in the way we were taught in college. Number two, 10, 10, and 10. Break down the lesson starting tonight into three sections. It's going to make your day go a lot faster. You're really going to appreciate how much faster your day goes. 10 minutes of a book. Get them in a book. 10 minutes of finger exercises. 10 minutes of their favorite song. If it's too hard, make it simple for them. Write it out, adjust it, but give them the nugget. If there's no nugget in the lesson, they're not coming back. And this ties into why people quit. We'll talk about that in a second. If they go home and the parent doesn't hear the nugget, they don't know the difference between a circle of fists and a nugget, right? Okay. If they don't hear something happening, your day's your number. It's the number one reason why they quit. If you can't get a hold of the parents, go out to the car and give them the information. And then the easiest thing for all of you to start doing tonight, at the end of the lesson, invite the parent in. You're going to start to see excited, thrilled parents around there. Even though I'm showing that, I know they're now excited now, but I'm saying more. Today's all about more. More excited. If you will bring them into the room, demonstrate what the child did. Because remember what happens when they get the car, guys. See, we're counting on the kids. We're counting on them to get the car and tell the parent that I today with Marty did these page numbers and this pentatonic scale, and I got a recital coming up, and we worked on Sweet Home Alabama, and we worked on slurs. And that's just not reality. The reality is, kid gets in the car and says, what'd you do today? He says, I don't know. And the parent wonders, where is this going? So you've got my action plan of what you all need to do to get things changed. One thing I want to mention again, though, make sure technology, bring your laptop, use theory games, use YouTube, use Guitar Pro, use things that excite them, okay? But now let's segue into why people quit. So let's write this down, why students quit. Well, some of it already said that, number one, they don't know where it's going. The teacher in their mind knows where it's going. But if your students don't know every single lesson where this is going, what the next page number is what they're working on, what the next concept is they're working on, write this down. What's the next song they're working on? When's the recital date? I mean, if you want to be lazy about it, the easiest way to get your students to stay is put them in a recital. And we'll close on that. I'll talk about how we do our recitals. But you put them in a recital, and that's like instant retention. Okay? But they got to know where it's going. Number two, the big reason, once you guys solve your time management stuff and you solve to where this is going, you're going to run into the third problem, but at least your problems are decreasing. The third reason they quit is it's not a priority. They like the lessons, but they don't love the lessons. And I'm here to tell you, if they like you, but they don't love you, you're not going to keep them very long. My average retention per student was 48 months, 4 years. A long, long time. Because of all the stuff I was doing behind the scenes, which gives you total freedom to teach as you want, but it's how you manage your time. Talked about that. It's how you interact with your clients. We're talking about that. But you have to understand why they're leaving. So what do you do about it? Well, everything I said today, you got to give them a nugget. You've got to bring technology into it. You've got to have a better relationship with the parents. You've got to get recitals going. You've got to make sure that you have a hunger to make them love it. Because here's the thing, what I encountered early on, guys, when I was on my own or at other schools, it became very apparent to me, I have to keep the students. It's up to me. When you're in the rooms with the students, Chris and Steve are not in there with you, and they're never going to be. It's up to you to, the terms I like to use, you have to entertain, educate, and engage. Entertain, educate, and engage, the three E's. Entertain, educate, and engage. And if you're not engaging them, and they don't love the experience, you got to step it up. Now, that's harder to do, maybe for a future call, but what you can definitely do to start is technology, talking to the parents, recitals, etc. Another reason they quit is their guitars are a mess. So let's look at the actual guitars. You guys have all had students come in with guitars they bought from Walmart and Target. And these things are made in China, and the strings are steel, and they are 1-inch off the fingerboard, and it hurts like hell to the students' hands. It really does. It hurts their hands a lot. And when they're going home and saying, Mommy, Daddy, my hand hurts, or the adult, same thing, it's over. You guys have got to get aggressive about trying to get them into the appropriate guitars. The guitars we use for children are Lucida, L-U-C-I-D-A, half size and 3/4, and they have nylon strings. These strings are like butter. They don't hurt their hands. They cost $89. They are dirt cheap. Do you guys sell guitars there, Chris and Steve?
No, we have a few here for rental, but we are not a retail place.
Okay, 10-4. So talk to Chris and Steve and find out where they want you to get whatever you guys are going to get. But for my success, I mean, getting them out of those Walmart guitars and just explain to the parent, listen, you're going to need to pay somebody $50 to try to fix the intonation in action on this thing, which may not even do it because it's not designed for that, or you can get this Lucida or something comparable, you're going to be in a lot better position. The parents are not going to like it at first, but you got to do it. Even if it means you bringing one to work with you, which I would encourage you to do, so during the lesson they can try yours and see how much pain-free they are. Same thing with those adults that come in with those acoustic guitars that have been sitting in grandma's attic for 10 years, and the bridge is warped, and the action is all screwed up if they can't play it. So you guys have got to get proactive and check out the guitars. How low is the action? One of the most pivotal points in my development as a guitar player was when my teacher took me out of my lesson room to the front of the store and said, listen, this action is unplayable. We got to get this fixed. And once he did that, I took off like a rocket. Write this down on your to-do list. Are you keeping up with the action of your students' guitars, the string weight, the comforts? If you're not making it comfortable for them by referring them to a repairman, technician who can fix that for you, or referring them to where Steve and Chris want you to go for the guitars, then it's not going to work out. And I want you to put that in capital letters. Are you in touch with their guitar? It should be the first thing that happens. You got to know how it plays. You got to know how the touch feels. And there should be a lot of people coming out of there this week saying, we're getting this guitar fixed for my child, because people really do want the best for themselves and their child, okay? The other reason they're not quitting, the reason they are quitting is they're not excited about them. If they don't want to do jazz and you're making them do jazz, they're not going to be around. If you're making them do classical guitar, they don't want to do classical guitar, they're not going to stay. That's a pretty easy one, I would think. I hope you guys are already on that, but you got to make sure that you're giving them a nugget, you're getting right to the point of what they want to do. And I'll give you a tip. What I did at the first lesson for years, I always said, Chris, I'm excited to have you. I want you to fill in a blank for me. I'm going to tell you a sentence. I want you to fill out the blank for me. I took lessons with Marty, and I learned how to do blank. And then Chris says, well, I want to do Beatles, or I want to do Metallica, or Johnny Cash, or whatever it is. But the point is, you let them tell you where they want to go, draft a plan to get there, and teach Chris the Beatles. Now, you still can do 1-4-5. You still can do keys and scales and everything else, but that's important. So those are the reasons they're quitting. And you really got to address them and work on ways to fix that. Now, lastly, let's talk about recitals, and then we're going to go to Q&A. Chris, when are y'all's recitals coming up?
We've got one at the end of October, one in March, one in June, and we have lots of places to play, not only as their solo students, but also bands.
Cool. Okay. So let me ask you a question. When they do, you do like a formal recital every year, like a big one, like Christmas?
Yeah, this year we've added some other events and everything. So it's October, is end of October is the first one, and it's a show for all the soloists to play.
All right, let me ask you this. Are the guitar players playing with their students?
Are the teachers playing with their students?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we require, suggest strongly, that the teachers, when the student is just first or second year students, that they do play with them as a duet, or they play the backing track, not sending somebody up there to play something very simple and lonely sounding.
Yeah, well, good. So, you know, you guys have got to take that to heart, that when you do these recitals to these kids, don't stick them up there by themselves. Play chords under them. Use backing tracks. What a lot of my guys do is they'll put a little band around them if they can coordinate it, you know what I mean? But you want to make it fun. You want to make them sound like $1 million. And if they stop practicing, what you can't do is take them off the list. I mean, if they stop practicing or stop showing up or doing football all the time, you've got to get them just doing something simpler and put them on stage, because it's not fair to punish the parent by taking them out of the recital. You really want to make sure that if you've agreed to put them on stage, they're ready to do something. But recitals is a pretty short discussion. Play with them. Make it short. Make it polished. I like to see 1 minute, 2 minutes at the most. It's just like the Grammys. When you play the Grammys, you get 90 seconds. And that's it. But recitals are everything. And my teachers that are really making a lot of money and are really doing this at a high level are have all their students recital. Chris and Steve, I'm going to do this. I'm going to first of all turn it over to you guys for questions and comments, and then we'll do Q&A with the teachers. So, Chris and Steve, do you have any questions or comments for me or for them?
Listen, Marty, wow, you covered tons of great information, and I don't really have any questions. I'd sort of like to hear if the teachers have comments or questions about this kind of information. We have a terrific collection of teachers on our guitar faculty, and I'd love to just hear from them and see what their reaction is.
All right, so let's do this. We're going to do that, and I also want you guys to ask specific questions of what you're going through. If you've got a student right now that you don't know what to do with, or a situation you're curious how I would handle it, it's very good to talk about that as well. So let's do this. Press *6 on your lines, and let's start taking some questions. Comments, feedback, whatever you guys want to do.
I'm on now.
Hey, say your name, please. All right, so if you have a question, please say your first name. All right, if you have a question, please say your first name.
Tony.
Tony, go for it. How you doing, Tony?
I'm good. Sorry, I was I muted you and then unmuted you again or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah, I got a couple of kids that just started with me. The first one is 5 years old, and his parents probably spoil him. Most of the kids are spoiled, it seems like. But this kid, he's just so little. He can't even really communicate real well. Like, he doesn't speak real clearly, and his attention span is good for about 20 seconds, and then he kind of just veers off. And, you know, I can't imagine trying to get this kid to work out of a book. You know, the books, even though the books I have are for young kids, he's really young. You know, 5 years old is just, like, so little. I'm not real sure how to get a kid like that to engage. His mom just said, you know, he loves the guitar. He's got a toy. You know, we got him this little guitar, and it's a decent little guitar. and he loves to just bang on it and stuff, so they put him in lessons. But I really don't know how to communicate with a kid that little.
Okay. What book are you using?
It's the FJH stuff. We've got those books.
Okay. Well, first of all, with a five-year-old, one of the biggest things I'd encourage you to do is to break up the lesson into activities. So what I do with kids that age is I'd have them put the guitar down, and Tony, I'd have them stand up and clap rhythms. And I would have them clap 1, 2, 3, 4. I would have them try to do it to backing tracks and just try to get them to be physical. It's going to be a break for you because it's a challenge to sit there for half an hour with a five-year-old. It's totally a challenge, and I get that. So I would break it into physical activities, have them stand up, do some clapping, feedback track, have him count out loud as he does it, try to get him to stress the downbeat, that kind of thing. Then have him switch gears, Tony. Then have him do it with his feet. Have him stomp the rhythms with their feet. And voice teachers and piano teachers are real good at that. You know, you could even get a pair of drumsticks, bring the drumsticks to the lesson, and have them beat out the rhythms with that. But definitely with a child that has limited vocabulary, limited communication, I would be pushing, trying to get them to do stuff that's physical. Drumsticks, clapping, stomping, etc. That's number one. So let's say today, next time you teach them this week, take at least 5-10 minutes to try to work on that, okay? Number two, drawing, either with crayons or with pencil. I want you to take blank paper, and I want you to either do two things. One, grab an activity book just off the internet. You could probably grab some PDFs. Filling in quarter notes, half notes, rhythms, that kind of thing, and explain to the parent what you're doing. Say, listen, so let me tell you the coloring thing, and then we'll tell you about communicating to the parent. I would have them draw, and I would say, okay, buddy, I want you to draw me a row of quarter notes. Go for it. And I want you to draw me a row of whole notes, and I want you to draw me a row of treble clefs. I understand the treble clefs are looking like a mess. I understand he's five, okay, but we could have them do tracing, right? So they have. Piano teachers have flashcards with, like, the treble clef, and it's in dots, and he can trace the outline. I would then make activity sheets for him. This isn't all of y'all could do. That would be awesome. Activity sheets with the parts of the guitar. Have them color those, draw in those, try to draw the parts. And so you got to explain to the parent that it's kind of some musical playtime that's coming in. Because if I understood what the parent said to you, let me spit it back to you, and you tell me if I'm right, because they say the same thing to me. The parent just wants the kid to be involved. The parent sees the kid dragging the guitar around at home, got a Mickey Mouse sticker on it or something, and he's not doing anything with it, but they want him to be involved. That's what the parent wants. And 90% of them realize that not a whole lot of music is going to come out of the thing, but they want to have a good musical experience. They want it to go somewhere, which is what the book does and stuff you're doing. So that's really where they're at. Do you feel that's accurate with this client?
Probably so, yeah. I know he's got... like an older sister too, I think maybe two, but you know, mom just has them all in something, and like I said, he showed interest in the guitar at home, so she decided to, you know, get him in lessons.
All right, so what I would do, so this is exactly what's happening. She doesn't want to be left out. The other kids are doing it. They're not quite old enough, but they want to be involved. So there we are. So I would say, listen, I got a great idea for Tommy. And what I'm going to do for Tommy is, this is his new folder, and we're going to work on rhythms, and I got these drumsticks for him, but we're going to work on some drawing, but it's going to be educational drawing, and it's going to be treble clef and parts of the notes and parts of the guitar and everything, and I just want you to understand we're not wasting time. This is actually going to be good musical education play, and I want to make sure, Miss Jones, that you're okay with that.
Uh-huh.
And she's got to be. I mean, it's like she's got to cut you some slack, but it's a half hour. He's five, and make sure that she knows, you know, that pianists do this. And also try to get your hands, Tony, on some piano materials. Piano teachers have hundreds of years on us as far as pedagogy, right? And they've got flashcards and all kinds of theory activities you can do with them. I would still try to keep them in the FJH books. The open first string exercises I love, just getting them to do the open first strings, you playing behind them. And I would try to entertain the little booger. I mean, I would take an electric guitar, throw some distortion on, have him play the first string, and rock out behind him.
Yeah, that sounds good, man.
You know? So hang in there. He will grow. You know what I mean? He won't be five forever. It's going to be challenging time for you, but there's going to be more and more of them coming. And I will tell you that our schools are also getting younger and younger, so it's a great thing to do. But Tony, that's what I would start. So I would try that, and I guarantee you, if you use all four of those things, man, it'll get better.
Yeah, cool. Okay, thanks,
Tony.
Okay, good talking to you, Tony. Next question, please. Say your first name.
Gabriel.
Okay, Gabriel, how are you?
Good. Just wanted to maybe also suggest to Tony, we also have iPads in every studio, and they have a couple of, you know, games that real young kids have used and more real young kids, and that seems to work to, you know, hold their attention a bit more, so that could be an option too.
Real quick, Gabriel, just so everybody knows, and I want to check them out too, so can you please tell everybody the names of those games that they're using on the iPads, please?
Sure. On the iPads, we have a couple of games. They are for more piano-geared students, but they are on all of them. And we even have training sessions. So the couple of things that I would use the music for Little Mozart's game. It doesn't have a name on the app, but if you ask any of the piano teachers there, they will tell you which one it is. And then that has some games to, you know, if you hear a sort of a high note or a low note, do this, do that, that seems to help. All the color also helps. And then that could be for older kids. We have an app that shows some of the chords. It's called Guitar Reference. You can pull anything up there. I like it because it shows every chord. You can play it, and you visually see it real nicely. So maybe that will help for the kids that, instead of seeing it in black and white in the book, might not get it that way. And then there might be another one that uses, if the kid is learning maybe notes, even if he's learning like the open E or something, there's one called Flash Class that actually can have flashcards of those notes. You can set it up to maybe just two notes at a time, and the kid would click with his finger which note it is. So those are pretty good ones.
Yeah, so real quick, I mean, back to Tony for a second. Tony, with a five-year-old, you turn on that iPad, you start showing high notes, low notes. You had a kiddie music for years, still do, and the colors, and you got it.
Yeah. Okay.
He's going to come out of there jacked up like he was drinking Joe Cola all day. You know what I mean? He's going to love guitar. It's going to take up 10 minutes of, you know, because here's the reality. A five-year-old doesn't need a full 30 minutes, like 15, 20 minutes for a five-year-old to do it, right? The trick is we can't offer 15-minute lessons, right? So, you know, or most schools don't. Some do, but most don't. We don't. So it's like, you know, Gabriel, thank you for bringing that up. That yeah, you totally want to incorporate that. And what's really cool is you're thinking outside of the box and not using just guitar stuff, but using piano stuff and all kinds of other stuff. So that's very cool, Gabriel.
Marty, this is Chris.
Hey, Chris.
I really like your idea of getting that very young child up out of the seat and taking him over. And like you said, piano teachers do this all the time where they use different parts of the studio as their learning station and taking him to the marker board as a station, then back to the chair to do something on the guitar. Then you're going to go over to another corner of the room to do your flashcards or your iPad. Then you're going to come back to the chair to do something else on the guitar. So then you're going to go over and do your rhythms somewhere else in the room. Even if it's a small room, the child thinks, hey, I'm not just stuck in this chair for 30 minutes. And so I like that idea. And, you know, the teachers can expand on that if it works with the child.
Well, absolutely. I think that's one of the biggest things coming out of the call today. And I think, Chris, you illustrated it extremely well. And yeah, and here's the benefit. There's a dual benefit. There's a benefit, number one, for the client, right? The student's getting more out of it. But, Chris, there's also a benefit for the teachers. The guys, look, I know what it's like to sit on a chair for 5 hours a day. It's hard. Hurts your back. You know what I mean? It gets tiresome. So get up. You know what I mean? And I like that term you used, Chris. You need to think about, as guitar players, there's more to our educational environment and just an amp and a chair. But so many of us, that's all we knew, you know. So, Chris, I think that's fantastic. Gabriel, did you have a question or comment?
No, maybe if you could talk about, I use all the books that you mentioned except the Jerry Snyder book. Could you maybe talk a little bit more about what you like? You said they have simplified chords. That's cool. Anything else that you like about that book?
Yeah, the book is called Jerry Snyder.
Guitar School?
Guitar School. And you want to get the one that has the CD with it. Now, I love his book for a couple of reasons. Well, the way I teach that book is, if you were a beginner, Gabriel, and you came to me, and especially if you're quiet, like a lot of us have 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds that are quiet.
Yep.
And they come in, and they want to do guitar, and you're like, hey, what's your favorite kind of music? You're like, oh, I don't really like music. And they'll say that to us, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man. And we know that's not true, but they're just shy, and they don't know us very well, right? So one of the things I like most about the Snyder book is I firmly believe it's one of the quickest ways to get somebody reading in the first position. And you could either break that up, Gabriel, and get them to read first position, top three strings.
Cool.
Or if they're faster, top six. So I go to part two, work on quarters, halves, et cetera, get them working on first position. And then in combination with that, I use the Hal Leonard Easy Pop Melodies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the reason I do that, for those of you who haven't used it, is it's all songs in the first position.
Mm-hmm.
With CD accompaniment. Stuff the parents know from classic rock, stuff they know from more modern stuff. And yep. There's always new stuff like that coming out. Now,
I also want to add for the teachers that are listening, I think Jamie, our operations director, she loaded all the songs from at least the first book, the Easy Pop Melodies, on the iTunes library, so all the iPads have it accessible. You can grab that tune, and you can also use an app called Music Trainer to slow that down, so you don't have to carry your laptop or import it to transcribe or anything. So you can do it right from the iPad, and everybody has access to that. So,
yeah, it's outstanding. Outstanding. So the other reason I like the Snyder book are, in the first part, it's a good primer for teens and adults. It's got simplified chords. It's got a little bit of fingerstyle guitar if they want to experiment with classical. It's got some good theory. It's got some blues. It's got some swing jazz stuff in there. It's got some Latin guitar. So it's a very good way to whet their appetite, Gabriel,
cool,
to segue them into other things.
Cool.
Kind of like a guitar gateway drug.
Awesome.
You know what I mean? Just get them opened up to stuff that's out there, right? And then you can segue them into other things. So if for whatever you guys are into, rock, jazz, classical, it's got it in there.
Cool.
Anything else?
I had a question. This is Lane.
Hey, Lane.
Speaking to parents before and after lessons, I find sometimes, like, I teach two guitar lab classes in a row, and I'm kind of, like, in the back of the school, or sometimes in between lessons, how to make it so that I'm not taking away from the 30 minutes that they're paying for, you know?
Well, I'm not sure I totally understand. So let's see. So you're in the back of the school. I get that. But how would the talking to parents take away from the lesson?
I mean, if I had a minute on either side or a couple of minutes on either side talking to the parents, like how to make it apparent to them that they're not getting out of their lesson early or starting late.
I'm with you. I mean, if you look at it, really watching the clock very closely. So 4:29, the door pops open, you bring the parent in and give them the homework recap. Say, hey, Mr. Jones, had a real good lesson today with Johnny, and here's what we worked on, and we're going to do these pages and recital and everything I said today, right? So just pop open the door and start giving them the recap the last 60 seconds. Then they leave, the other person comes in, as they're opening up their backpack and getting another tune or getting another guitar, talk to the parents, shake their hand, say, John, how about the Cowboys game, you know, beating the Giants Wednesday? Wasn't that awesome? And how's it going at home? Is he playing for you? Good. You got a recital day. It's cool. Okay. We're going to go get started. Be right with you. I mean, it literally takes, like, you know, 30 to 60 seconds to do it.
Okay.
But it's everything to the parents. And so I would say, really, that if you look at the priority, the end is more important than the beginning. At the end, last 60 seconds, pop open the door, politely bring the parent in, tell them what happened, show them what's going on. And that's part of the lesson. I mean, Chris and Steve, I want to get your opinion. To me as a director, I don't think that's taking anything away from them. I think that's really what the parent wants is validation. So I want to make sure that you're in agreement. I mean, what do you guys think?
Yeah, and that's a great question, Lane, because in reality, we do have parents who are sometimes, hey, why did my teacher end the lesson, you know, a couple minutes early and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, what you said before, Marty, was, you know, if you have to go chase down that parent outside real quick the 1 week, but you invited them to come into the lesson the next week. If they're in the lesson the last 5 minutes, even if it's not a group that you're teaching, but you have already said, hey, please come in the last 5 minutes and we can play for you something great that we learned today, and the parent's in the last 5 minutes, you're throwing in that assignment right there as well, and they don't feel like the kid's not getting their lesson for the last 5 minutes because the parent's involved in hearing what their kid actually did at the lesson today.
Yeah, and I think the key to it, just like Chris said, is, you know, as long as the whole thing's going 4 to 4:30, it doesn't matter if you're talking to the client or not. What angers them is when, and I've had this happen a lot over the years, teacher pushes them out the door at 4:25. That angers them incredibly, okay? But there's a difference between pushing them out 5 minutes early and just nothing happening versus bringing the parent in and engaging the parent, because you're making that parent so happy. They are craving, with a capital C, communication. And you'll get in the rhythm, you know, Lane, you'll get used to it, you know. If you know, my teachers, they're real good about, you know, everybody's talked to, and it's been huge for us.
And Marty, again, also they are craving seeing their child be successful interacting with music and the teacher. And, you know, that just sells.
Absolutely.
It brings up one more kind of similar question that I had then. If I have a couple of students that their parents have been, like, consistently showing up 10 minutes late and they're waiting for them, how would you suggest getting them involved?
All right, let me make sure I got this. So the lesson's at 4. Client shows up at 4:10. Lesson ends at 4:30.
Sorry, the parent comes to pick them up at 4:40.
Oh. Well, the biggest thing I would be doing is writing notes. So I would have a piece of paper. And frankly, I mean, if it was me, you got two ways to handle that. You can either have the kid give it to the parent, or I'm not afraid to, if I see the parent come in, pop open the door, take 5 seconds, say, hey, Chris, sorry, I got to run this your homework. See you next week. Put it in their hand.
Okay.
I mean, it took 5 seconds to open that door, hand it out to the parent, and close the door back. You know, I don't know if Chris D would be comfortable with that, but that would be me, you know.
Marty, what Lane's talking about is, since he teaches in a studio that's not right by the lobby,
mm-hmm.
4 o'clock student is dismissed at 4:30. Lane walks him up to the lobby, says, oh my gosh, your folks not here. Well, okay, we'll see you next week. He takes his next student back to his studio, and he'll never know when that parent arrives. But one answer would be, Lane, you can let the front desk know that you haven't seen that parent in a couple weeks. We can call them and say, hey, the teacher said everything's going great at Johnny's lesson. Please come in to the lesson next week. And that way the teacher can show you what the great stuff he's doing at his lesson or something. But we can call the parent for you, Lane.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
And that's huge. I mean, that's what this whole call today is about. We got 5 minutes left. It's about retaining them. I mean, it's gotten harder and harder and harder to retain them. They got all kinds of distractions with sports, and they always have. But technology's only made it worse. Yeah, so anything you guys and girls can do to communicate with the parents better is going to make a huge impact. We got 4 minutes. Any other questions, comments?
If nobody has a question, I've got one, but I want the teachers to ask one first. Any other teacher questions? No? Okay. Well, my question was, any ideas, Marty? We do a lot of consultation lessons here where the student is trying out just one trial lesson. They pay for the lesson, and the teachers are paid for the lesson, but What would you want to make sure that teacher is doing in the consultation lesson when it's their one chance to make a great impression that that student and parent then are going to come up to the front desk, hopefully, making their decision if they're going to continue or just go home and think about it?
Well, I got two answers. The first one's W-O-W. You got to wow them. And the wow comes from the second part, which is you got to make it multifaceted. Everybody thinks different, responds to different things. Some people like ketchup, some people like mustard, and everybody is wired differently. So you got to make sure, I think what Gabriel said was awesome. If you do a consultation lesson and you expose them to the iPad and you expose them to checking out their instrument and you communicate well with the client and you get them into some books and you find out what they're into, that's like five or six things that is rattled off. And as long as you can touch on all of those, you got a much better chance of keeping them. So if it was me, here's what I would probably do, Chris. If I had a consultation today with you, let's see, you had a 13-year-old son, right? He comes in, the first thing I would do is ask the parent why they're there. So if you guys have your pens handy, write this down. I would say, Chris, why are you guys here? He'd say, well, he really likes Metallica, or you could say this is something you want him to do. Now, number one, guys, you've already done a lot there. If you can pull it out of them why they're there, you're going to have a lot better chance of getting what they want. So if the kid's there for Metallica, well, that's a pretty cut and dry path, right? If the mom just wants them to be involved, it's going to take some more investigation. So if you said, well, the mom wants them to do it, say, okay, well, what kind of music does he like? And if she doesn't give you an answer, say, okay, Chris, what kind of music do you like? So I like the Beatles. I say, cool, we'll do Beatles today. I would tab them out something simple. Remember what I said about one string, guys? Even in a consultation lesson, give them nuggets. I think it's so important, the first lesson, if you can just get them doing something, to where it wows them. So if they can plunk out hot cross buns, or if they can plunk out Smoke on the Water on one string, 035, 0365, that's the wow factor, guys and girls. They go, wow, I did that. I didn't do anything in the guitar, and I came in today with Lane, and I had this consultation lesson. I'm already playing. So excited. You know. And the next thing I would write down is enthusiasm. As you guys can probably tell with me, when I'm working, it's not, you know, just dry monotone. You know. It's not Ferris Bueller, right? I mean, I am on, and I'm excited to be there, and I'm enthusiastic and emotional about it. You got to pump it up and make sure they have just an awesome time and bring that element in there. Then you've got those awesome iPads there. You've got all these awesome programs. That's an incredible showcase point.